So the last 3-4 weeks, if I have to give a summary of what God has been speaking about to us as a congregation, it was exactly having a lifestyle that present the King and to present the kingdom of God and not only talk about the King and present the King. I think maybe I'm just going to recap three weeks ago, we asked the question, what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? What does it mean? And we said, in those days when a rabbi called people to be discipled by him, it meant basically 4 things. So who can remember what was those 4 things? Miskien moet ek vra wie was en net moet jy dan antwoord. So is daar iemand wat weet, wat is die 4 elemente, die 4 basiese elemente of what it means to be a disciple of Christ? The 4 basic elements. The first one was? Yeah, to be with him, to spend time with him, to walk with him. Every day, every moment of the day. So it meant to be with the disciple maker or with the rabbi or with Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus first means to be with him. All right. What did they do then? As they spent time together, what happened? Sorry? Before you can become like him, you know his teachings. You know his teachings. All right, and then the 3rd one was mentioned. You become like him. Fourth one, last one. You continue his work. You multiply his work. Okay, so that was 3 weeks ago. We spoke about these 4 elements of being a disciple of Jesus, and that's what it meant. I think. Over the last 2 weeks, we've spent time with people that was at the Kasi weekend, and we were just discussing the name of the weekend together. What shall we call it? Because it's confusing, you know. So it's we call it a discipleship seminar. Or we call it we've tried to call it a marriage seminar. And I love the one guy's answer. He just answered it simple. He says, "How to live." And so if I want to say what the weekend with Kasi was about, it's about how to live, which then was then just put an emphasis on by last week's sermon by Daniel, who said that following the King meant living the way his kingdom works. So it was again about presenting a kingdom in our daily living that presents the King. And do we live that kingdom? And how do we live that kingdom? So this morning, I want to take it further. And the question I want to ask is, I think something that we've said 3 weeks ago is that becoming like Christ doesn't happen by itself. Christ-likeness doesn't, I go to sleep in the evening and tomorrow morning I'm like him. It doesn't happen. And I think we've asked one another to read Matthew 5-7 again and then ask ourselves, do we think it's possible to live like that? Or was Jesus just talking a lot of stuff that was impossible to practice in life? And I, as families and as individuals, I want to encourage you again to go and read Matthew 5-7 and ask yourself, do you think it's really possible to live like that? I thought of this week, we're in the age where our children is studying, and it reminds us of our studies. We had the privilege of doing that, and I was thinking, what is easier? Is it easier to become a doctor or an engineer or to be Christ-like? Which one is easier, you think? Hey, dokter is die makkelijkste klink uit my. Dokter. For sure. To be a doctor or an engineer or what profession you've prepared for, it's easier than to become Christ-like. My question is, did it take effort to become the engineer or the doctor? And why on earth are we thinking it will happen because we've joined the church or we read the Bible in the morning or we've got semi-good models or whatever? It's not going to happen by itself. If it takes effort to become an engineer, it will take much more effort to become like Jesus. And I want to say something about that today. So there's questions that we can ask today and ask. So since you've come to Christ and been reborn of the Spirit, how's it going with whatever? How's it going with alcohol in your life? Is it better than what it was? Is it still the same? How's it going with swearing? How's it going with your thoughts concerning lust or pornography? Is it still the same or has it changed? We can name a lot of other things probably. How's it going with our marriages? Is it going better than when you came to Christ? Is it more Christ-like or not? And I'm confronted with these questions as well. So the question is, to become Christ-like is not going to happen with time alone. There needs to happen something in that time. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And I think we can testify, sadly, that sometimes we see people for years in church and they become less Christ-like the older they get than what they was when they were younger. Anyway, so much of what I share today is, I don't know if you've ever read Dallas Willard. A while ago, I came across some of his stuff and just beautiful, simple for me. So he said his life's purpose was to make eternal living, ewige lewe, to make it concrete today. It's the same message that Daniel brought. Or Cassie brought, reflective of Jesus himself. So then the question is, if we just this morning spend some time on how do we become like Jesus? Is there something that can really help or not? So I think I'm going to turn the page. So maybe just to help us all and not to go asleep or sad or something, is maybe you can turn two to one another. You've got four elements to name which will make me more Christ-like. Four. So ons weet die Bybel is volle klomp goed. So ek het versamelname gebruik. Hoekom sê Dallas Willard gebruik versamelsname? He's not talking about this and this and this. He's got one thing that takes all of it together. You've got four things to mention. Let's take some time and julle mag in Afrikaans met mekaar praat. Behalwe as julle langs 'n Engelse ou sit. Seems to me you've got it. It's becoming silent. All right. So you want, who's going first? Give us one. No, you're not part of the... Albrecht. Excuse? Liefde. Liefde will help me to be more Christ-like. Okay, just help me where to fit that. Ek vraag altyd maar die vraag sleg. Love is the fruit. That is where we're going. We would say we can write love here. Or we can write Christ-likeness and love is pretty much the same thing. Okay, so that's where we want to go. If you have to give someone four tools, four words that will help him to get there, what will help him? To grow in love. He's starting out very self-centered. So maybe we can just, before we try and fill those four things, we can ask, we can say to one another, it is over time. It doesn't happen. It happens over time. All right, so self-centered, and I'm ending up loving like Jesus, what is going to help me? Die to self. Die to self. Die to self. Yes, I'm okay. It's all of them is true. The angel. Okay. Good. Good. I like that. So I hear, and what I'm going to write at the end, I hear two things from Denzel. Something else? Obedience. Obedience. Four things helps me to walk in obedience. Sorry? All right, I'm going to die in, weet ek waar om te skryf. The word goes here. Prayer goes here. Fellowship goes here. The Spirit goes here. Fellowship, or we can write here, community. Sorry for my beautiful handwriting. Right. This is done, and this is done. What can we call the word prayer? What goes with that? Fasting. Okay. Where do we go with this? There's a long list of that. Sorry? No, I want to call it spiritual discipline. There's different spiritual disciplines. As we walk in them, we become more Christ-like. Okay, so this is discipline. So, dying to self will also go here. Ek weet nie hoe om dying te skryf nie, met 'n Y of 'n EY. Sterf in yourself. Why is that a spiritual discipline? It's restraint. It's self-control. It's a spiritual discipline that has to be exercised. Okay, so that goes here. Hoe skryf jy dying met 'n EE? Met 'n Y. Many, wat het hulle van die Pink Lady gesê? Many people came into the Pink Lady, so we called it the Pink Lady, the coffee shop. So they thought in English, why did they say die Pink Lady? Okay, so there's one left. There's one left here. And especially in the charismatic church, we don't like much of this one. But it's a huge tool or a experience or a happening in life. That helps us to become more Christ-like. We do everything to stay out of this. So, suffering. Or we can make it the hard knocks of life, whatever you want to call it. Ek het knocks gaan opsoek, as met 'n K begin, hey. Knocks of life. Okay. So, I want to say something about the four things that Dallas Willard ended up with saying that helped him to become more Christ-like. Four of those things. So, the end goal is to be like Christ, to love like Him, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. What are the four things that we can... And as I've said in the beginning, is versamelname. Ek weet nie wat dit in Engels is. It's a lot of things just taken into one word. Community. Community means something specific. We'll say something about and suffering. And the Spirit or God. But I think we prefer the Spirit. Something else that we can write with this. In you becoming Christ-like, you can write here, there's, we don't like the word, but since we're talking about it, there's a God effort. There's a self-effort. And there's a others' effort. Does it make sense? And we know we need all three of this to become Christ-like. Without others, without the community, without ourselves being training in discipline, and without God, obviously it starts here. If this doesn't happen, nothing can happen. It's all here. It's the number one thing. And we say that this happens over time. Nou beteken dit ek kan niks meer nie. Okay, so I want to say something about the Holy Spirit first, and I would like us to just open up our Bibles at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I want to read from verse 16. All right, I'm going to jump from 16, 18, and I think 25. In verse 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit." And verse 25, "If you live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." And amongst that is the fruit of the Spirit. And something that I want to encourage us to see in that passage is that the command is not to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Terwyl ons nou besig is om vrugte te pluk. The command is not producing love. The command is not producing long suffering. Now, what is the command? Be led by the Spirit. That is the command. And something that helped me, because I am unable to produce those fruit. It's just impossible for me. I'm too broken. But when I'm led by the Spirit, He produces it and I can bear it. So I want to say, guys, there is no way that we can become Christ-like if we are not led by the Spirit. And I want just, and I'm all for that miracle moment where the Holy Spirit comes and do something in your life. But that alone is not going to make you Christ-like. Do you know about the moments that I'm talking about? That beautiful moments, we get it in worship, we get it in someone praying for us, or just alone in nature. It can happen at any place where the Spirit of God just touches us in a way, and He can do things in a moment that I cannot do in 1,000 years. We agree on that. But if we build our Christ-likeness on that alone, we will end up short. Because that is only part of what the Spirit does. The Spirit leads you every moment, every day. That's His desire. And becoming Christ-like is more of that. And that's the backbone of being Spirit-led and being filled with the Spirit and having a lifestyle that is in unity with God. So I just want to say again, the miracle working of the Spirit is probably at the top of the list of becoming Christ-like. Like many said, being born again, being baptized with the Spirit, or being revealed or healed, or just the Spirit does things that nothing else can do. And we want that. But don't build your journey on becoming Christ-like on that alone. Be led by the Spirit from the morning you get up till the evening you go to bed. That is where God is calling us. That is what He says. This is how the Spirit helps us to become like Him. And as we allow that, that fruit will be produced by Him over time. You will at the end, the change comes on the inside. As we allow the Spirit to lead us, the change comes on the inside, and we will leak that fruit of the Spirit over time. The Holy Spirit produces us it, and we can bear it. So that's just something short. I think last year, the end of the year, we've said a lot about this, having a lifestyle of intimacy continuously with God, with the Spirit, asking for His guidance. So if we have to say something about spiritual discipline, and maybe in our age and generation, maybe Umeni and Irekulus, maybe comes from a different generation. They understand something of discipline that I think my generation doesn't, and I don't want to go to the youth. Maybe they'll give me a few words back at home. But so discipline, and without spiritual discipline, Christ-likeness, I think, will always escape us. Spiritual discipline is not a new thing. It's not new things within that spiritual discipline, word, prayer, fasting, solitude. No, it's not new things. Those practices has been done over the years by Christians. And from them comes life. And I think maybe it's one of the biggest areas that we are missing to become Christ-like, because spiritual disciplines is largely absent in our lives. So may God help us with this. And it's not hard. And I think with spiritual discipline, it's like exercise. I don't get up in the morning and decide I'm going to run 42 kilometers. That's a marathon for ons wat hardloop. I don't do that. I will die if I do that. I start with one, and then two, and then three. And spiritual discipline is training, not trying. It's training, over and over, training. Om my lichaam te disciplineer, om my gedagtes te disciplineer, om my routines te disciplineer. It will not be done by willpower. Can I say it again? I try willpower a lot. It always cracks. Willpower doesn't do it. It is the consistent training over time of enjoying God. And if it's only 1 kilo today, good, it's 1 kilo. Add another one next week. Add another one next week. Life is coming from it. It may be hard, but it is special and it is needed for us to become Christ-like. We become stronger and stronger over time as we practice it. What is now impossible not only becomes possible, but that becomes our nature. Can we say that again? And many of us can testify of this. How God has helped us over time to change from where we were to where we are now. But it took effort. It took discipline. Dallas Willard says, Discipline is something we do to enable us to do something we are not able to do by direct effort. Discipline is something that helps us to do things that will not be done just by direct effort. That is discipline. It's something that trains us over time to become stronger. If you make a note, it's not trying, it's training. Trying and training is two different things for me. If we train within our capacity now, we get fitter and fitter. Ek het ons tye toe ons geoefen het, ons het dit geweet. Ons gedink hoe harder jy oefen, hoe vinniger jy fiks word. My science het agtergekom, nee, dit werk nie so nie. Jy moet binne jou liggaam se limits oefen, dan kom jy fiks uit die gouste. So, walk with God. Allow him to lead you in that. Maybe just something about the spiritual disciplines. We can spend obviously a day on that. Silence, Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Silence, and in our, I don't know, in your life, noise is always there. And if it's not there, we open up our phones to make sure that it accompanies us. Fasting. Arminius talked about dying to self or self-restraint. It is a discipline that has to be exercised over time. It doesn't happen overnight. Community, together, it's a discipline. Me and Eric had a conversation this morning about where do we stand, and we're going to get to community right now, but gathering together regularly is part of discipline. It's something that has to be exercised. It's something that becomes normal over time if we allow God to help us. A few Sundays ago, I've mentioned that God was speaking to us as a family around Sabbath. Many had so mooi gebid vir oggend. I loved your prayer this morning, Omeni. When you talked about this day, and may we experience God in a special way, not only here today, but right through the day. God has put it aside that we can stop with all the noise and be with God. Obviously, study the word, worship, prayer. Confession is a discipline. Submission is a discipline. Maybe we can just turn to 1 Timothy where Paul writes about this, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 10b. Nature, gratitude, dankbaarheid is a spiritual discipline. We are not thankful beings. We are discontent beings. To become a thankful person takes discipline and exercise. We train our minds and our emotions to be thankful always. Paul writes, be thankful always, 1 Thessalonians. So all of these things are spiritual disciplines. And Paul writes here to Timothy, he says, have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather train yourself in godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the present for the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Will God help us to train ourselves in godliness? This is what godliness is, just another word for Christ likeness. God is love. So spiritual disciplines is something that we have to have a hard look at. So we see, if we read Matthew 5 to 7, if we look at it and says, but this is impossible. I just want to encourage you, if we allow the Spirit to lead us and we practice the spiritual disciplines, we can see we will grow in it. And over time, we will say it can be done. It can be done. The third element that is needed to be Christ likeness is community. So I don't know about you and your experience. Community is tough, but it is like a single thinking he's got everything sorted out and then getting married. And he's not changing into a monster, he's just finding out who he is. Because after marriage you see things that you didn't see before you got married. Community works in the same way. When me and Marina spend time with people to get married, they don't like it, but we try to remind them that marriage is for holiness, not for happiness. Community is for holiness, not for happiness. As we allow holiness to come, joy comes. Joy is the fruit of holiness. It's not something we can directly pursue. Joy comes as we allow God to make us like Him. Without community, this is not going to happen. And if you are doing church in a way that this is absent in your life, I want to encourage you, take the risk. It is a risk. Take the risk, but it's beautiful. This community is the place where we are exposed, but also where we are encouraged. And make sure that every one of us has a place like that. As I've said, it's only in community that we can really discover who we are and where we are falling short of what Christ-likeness looks in our life. Community is a good thing for becoming like Jesus. Community is non-negotiable. Community is not having time with a mentor one-on-one. It's not community. And a meeting like this really is also not community that builds our Christ-likeness. Community happens in those groups of 6 or 8 to 15 people where we are transparent and seeing one another and can say to one another, brother, I love you, but I see this thing in your life. How can we help you with this? And if doing church has not a regular meeting of a small group of people in your life, you are missing one of the key factors that will bring you to Christ-likeness. You are missing God's plan for your life. I want to encourage you. And it's not something that we come to every month, or it's something that slots in with spiritual discipline. It's something that we do regularly. It is something that comes first on my calendar, not if I can fit it in. I wanted to say something else about community. Okay. So that's it. Just something quickly about hard knocks of life, and then we close with that. So the hard knocks of life, or the sufferings in life, is something that we try to avoid. We try to pray us out of it. We try to prevent it at all cost. But something happens during suffering that nothing of this can do. And this is not a slechte news. It's not bad news. It is something that Paul writes about regularly. I thought maybe just let's open just at James 1, verse 2 to 4. What does it say in James 1? Verse 2 to 4. So, as the one guy is explaining it, in suffering, microwaving is taking place. There's something that happens here, and without that, we don't become Christ-like. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's Paul's advice concerning suffering. And something that is happening here is that Jesus knows everything about suffering. He knows suffering. He wants to walk with you through that suffering. And he says, I will. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you in that suffering. Something that I listened to during the week, I've never looked at it like that. And the guy was asking, when Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side, did they do something wrong? Did they... was they disobedient or something when they got into the boat going out to the other side? Why am I asking this? He said, let's go to the other side. Do you think he knew there was a storm coming on the sea? He knew it. He didn't tell them because I think they wouldn't get in. They nearly died on the sea. And it was not because they've done something wrong. Jesus was discipling them through the storm. Are you afraid while I'm with you in the storm or not? It's a life lesson taught to them that took them to the end of their lives. So don't think if the hard knocks of life comes, the first question is, what did I do wrong? Because God wants everything to go nice. That is not the gospel. It is not the gospel. I want to know, God, while I'm suffering here, what is it that you want to teach me? I am open. If God wants to show me something, I am here because I have done this and this. I'm open to that, but it's not the first question I ask. I ask, how will this help me to become more Christ-like? He knows everything. And I think in every suffering, I've prayed it this morning, and it's also something that I felt God spoke to me this week, is suffering most of the time brings the opportunity for us to humble ourselves. And we can reject that humbling if we want to. The fact that you go through suffering is not automatically you are going to be more humble at the end. Sometimes we are more prideful or more hard after the suffering than what we were going in. So there is a choice to be made. There is an allowing that should take place in the suffering for us to grow in humility. It's not going to happen by itself there. So I want to close with that and just say, If you are thinking of becoming Christ-like, or you are helping someone to become Christ-like, it's one of the pillars of being a disciple of Jesus. We've said we want to spend time with him, we know his teaching, we become like him, and we want to continue his work. To become like Jesus, and maybe this is one of the biggest flaws in the church over the last, I don't know how many years. We know the teachings. We spend time with him. We want to continue his work. But Gandhi said, I like your God, but I don't like his people. And if there's something that God is speaking to me and to our congregation, I can just, we haven't asked anybody to come and speak about this or this. But God is speaking to us to present the kingdom by living like Jesus and not in another way. So may God help us. And as these four things push and pull, and we allow community, spiritual disciplines, the Spirit of God and the sufferings in life, if we allow them, we can become someone who love our enemy and not hate him. We can be someone that is walking in faith and not in anxiety. We can be someone that is spirit-minded and doesn't have a mind full of lust. We can be generous and not materialistic. That is where this pulling and pushing takes us. We can be emotionally healthy and not emotionally self-centered. Attending church is not going to do this. Attending church is not going to do this. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. We should regularly come together. But we can attend church and not do one of these four things. It's not going to change us. And it's going to cost us. But when Jesus says in Matthew 16 that if you want to follow after me, lay down your life, take up your cross and follow me, he says, because if you want to keep your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose it, you will have it. And it's going to cost you, but it's going to cost you more if we don't walk in this. It's going to cost us more. It becomes beautiful when we do it. Change and healing from brokenness is on the inside. It is possible, but it's not passive. These four things, can we help one another? And can we remind one another and walk in it? I want to close with 1 Corinthians 13, just as a prayer. I don't know if we can do that as a prayer, but as an invitation from Jesus. This is where he is inviting us. And when I read it, I thought, do I really desire to be like this? 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just going to read from, I read it the other day from the Message or something like that. It was beautiful. I'm going to read it from there. So as we sit and just listen to where Jesus is inviting us, I think the first thing is, do we really desire to be like this? Because this is where the Lord is inviting us when it comes to Christ-likeness. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe or what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. It's always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel with others' grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always look for the best, never looks back, but keep going to the end. I want to read it in the Afrikaans as well. Sê nou maar ek is so geestelik dat ek die tale kon praat wat die engele in die hemel kon praat en selfs nog 'n klomp ander, maar ek het nie ander mense lief nie. Wat dan? Vir die Here klink daardie geestelike gepraat dan na niks anders as 'n geraas soos iemand wat teen 'n oesterkap hê. Sê nou ek kan uitstekend preek, is hooggeleerd in die dinge van die Here, verstaan dinge van God wat ander mense nie eens weet nie en boonop het ek nog die grootste geloof wat jy jou kan voorstel. Maar ek kan nie ander mense lief hê nie. Is ek vir die Here 'n nul op 'n kontrak? Al gee ek alles wat ek besit vir arme mense en word as martelaar vir die Here verbrand, maar ek het nie lief nie, help dit alles niks. Om ander lief te hê beteken om nooit iemand sleg te behandel wat jou irriteer nie. Om altyd alle mense so te hanteer dat hulle graag by jou wil wees, sonder om bang te wees dat jy hulle sleg sal behandel. Om ander mense dit wat hulle het of kry te gun, sonder om lelik te wees, as hulle dinge het wat jy nie het nie. Om nie heeltyd oor jouself te praat en te spog nie. Om nie heeltyd te maak asof jy soveel beter as ander mense is nie. Om nie ongeskik te wees nie, maar jou so te gedra dat ander nie ongemaklik saam met jou voel nie. Om nie net heeltyd aan jouself en jou eie voordeel te dink nie. Om nie sommer vir niks kwaad te word nie. Om nie elke liewe dingetjie wat iemand verkeerd doen te onthou, sodat jy hom kan terugkry nie. Vader, dankie dat ons vanoggend na u toe kan kom en kan sê, Here, dat in ons hart 'n begeerte is om te wees soos 1 Korintiërs 13 ons na toe uitnooi. Maar ek erken vanoggend, Here, dat ek nie daar is nie. En dat ek die gees en die leiding van die gees nodig het, Here. Dat ek die krag en die dissipline nodig het om geestelike dissiplines in my lewe te oefen wat ek nie op die oomblik doen nie. Here, ek het community nodig en wil u vir my en vir elkeen van ons help wat wegtrek van community af wanneer ons seer kry of wanneer ons lelik uitkom, Here, wil u vir ons help om naby mekaar te bly. Wil u vir ons moed gee, Here, om mekaar se lewens te kan inspreek in liefde, omdat ons belang is dat elkeen soos u moet word. Here, help ons om in die swaar kry tye van die lewe, Here, met vreugde te kan stap en te weet dat u besig is om goddelikheid in ons te oefen. Wil u ons karakter en ons nederigheid verander, Here, wanneer dit met ons swaar gaan. Ek bid vanoggend, Here, vir elkeen wat Here, wat sukkel om net naby u te wees, Here. En ons doen so baie daarmee, Here. Ek wil vanoggend kom vra dat u ons daarmee sal help om naby aan u te wees. Here, help ons gedagtes om elke oomblik u leiding te soek, u aangesig te soek en u saamstap te vra waar ons ook al deur ons dag stap, Here. Sodat ons meer en meer die koninkryk sal leef wat in die ewigheid vir ons wag. Help ons om nou daarin te stap en te leef. In die naam van Jesus bid ons dit. Amen.